Just like that, we back at it. It's the BU Real Podcast. We back at it at the BYBR Studios. It's your boy, Joey B, Joey Dundada, the chosen brown one. We're here live, and we got a fabulous guest today. You know, we got Los with us. Los, yes. What it is?
Yes. He's with episode 5.
Yeah. I'm about to say something about episode 5. Is it he?
Yeah. Absolute.
Absolute. But yeah, we have an amazing guest. My sister and my dog, my homie, she knows me since I was 18 years old. It's a blessing to have this friendship, seeing you grow from a young teenager to a whole man. You know what I mean?
Wow. But,
it's a blessing though, to have friends that, you know, a decade plus relationship with. We here with Kiana, aka Key Essentials, aka K Dot. So she hosts her own podcast called the Key Essential Podcast. She's a licensed social worker, life coach, child advocate, founder of National Good Bees Day, and much more. So really, she found her purpose in this rare space that she curated, where she talks about her life experiences, her knowledge, and her goal is to bring people closer to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Oh, damn.
With that being said, Jashin starts all her episodes with a prayer. So we're going to get into a prayer where you can join in, close your eyes, bow your heads, and listen to the word motion by
God. Good luck. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, thanking and be your grace and mercy as always. I thank you for bringing us all together today. I thank you for this platform, for it's essential for people to understand and be themselves authentically so that they can be their light and glorify the Father God. So I'm so thankful to be a part of this in this moment. I'm thankful for these two gentlemen coming together and doing this work. And what I ask is that you use this as your vessel. As that you use us to get a message across to the people who are listening that can bear so much fruit in abundance, that it can heal, they can grow, grow closer to you, but heal from anything that they may be going through. Maybe they have their hearts open, their minds opened for the conversation that's about to be bestowed today. As always, I ask that you use me, Holy Spirit, have the way. We ask for your presence to be felt during this time. And we ask for just to have fun and for there to be a peace at the river called of God. We thank you. We love you. We pray you in Jesus' name. We say amen.
Amen. Amen. And our listeners to be open and mindful to this conversation that we're about to have. Because, you know, I think, like, one of the special things about you and, you know, that correlates to, you know, be real is that you take, for me at least, a different avenue from what, like, other usual Christians do. And you, like, have your own spin on it, but it's not just your own spin on it. It's, like, it's a way of life. And so, like, kind of the life that religious people are supposed to take. So I just want to start off by saying, like, how did you find yourself in this space? How was that journey?
Man, it's been a journey for sure. I think when you say, like, how did you find yourself in this space, I think the main thing was just wanting to be close to God, right? That was, like, just trying to build a relationship. I didn't understand how it all meant, but that was the core. And then it took me along this bumpy road. So when I was younger, because I didn't grow up in church, I knew of God because my mother would be like, you know, God said this, or God's doing his business because it's raining, or, you know, whatever, right? But I didn't right? So I didn't have a relationship, but I knew he was essential. I knew he was important. I was actually dating a guy who is a Christian, and he was the one who, like, wore Jesus' love on his back bunk. He was Pentecostal, actually, and just, like, very strict. And during that time, I was thinking, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, I didn't blame it on him that I got close to, but I remember waking up one morning, like, I'm going to go to church. And I hit up a homegirl. She never went there. I had the same feeling. And that kind of was the start. I was around like 18, 19. And that was the start of me just having with starting to have faith and kind of figuring this process out. And again, it's just been an open mind of with going through so many different processes of life, right? Which is how it is. We grow. And as I grew, my relationship with God grew and took its turns and ups and downs.
I love that. And I want to get into like the differences between, because I've known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was always considered you, right? And I consider myself too a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. But
I remember we had plenty of conversations where you would define the difference between spirituality and Christianity.
Yeah.
So what's the key difference between the two? Because I consider myself a spiritual person who has Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fully like practice the Christian religion. But from my family background, my mother is a Christian. My whole side of my mother's side of the family is Christian. So I kind of grew up in it. But I was never kind of dove into it all the way, like, because there's certain values I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I want to see if you could dive into that, like, explain those two key differences, because that's something you always tell me about. Oh, no, there's a difference between being a Christian but being spiritual.
You know what's so crazy? I think that understanding has developed over time, right? Because I used to feel like I was spiritual, right? I went through, when we talk about that bumpy relationship with God, like I've said this on my podcast as well, Key Essentials to a Kingdom Life. I denounced Jesus. We know we can't get to the Father without Jesus, right? But I was like, I don't really know about him. How can I be strong, black, and powerful? And I had people telling me, like, you can't believe in Jesus. But they were trying to say that you can't believe in white Jesus, right? But when you read the Bible, you'll see he's not white. From the Bible I read, King James Version, you can't see that. So for a while, like, I denounced him. I picked up crystals. I picked up, you know, worshiping the moon and doing all the stuff, right? Worshiping the creations that God has made instead of the creator. And that's where I felt, that's where that concept for me of being spiritual came from. Then as I got back into the word, but yet, even though there was this spirituality, I felt I was spiritual. I was still considered myself a Christian. I think a lot of people consider themselves a Christian, but they feel like I'm more spiritual, right? Like I may have this background, but I'm more spiritual because I get to know God maybe in different ways, right? And I think that's how people define it. I mean, I know at one point that's how I define it, that I don't have to get into the word. I don't have to go to church, but I can get to know God through all these other means. But like I said, it was more about me. At that time, I was worshiping all of God's creations and not worshiping the creator, which is a problem because they was above God. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice it, but they were an idol. I would go to them before I would go to God. So for me, now I think you can be, because I think reading the Bible is hella spiritual, right? You read the Bible, I think it's, to me, like I get chills of learning constantly. I don't know how many times you can read some of the same passages over and over and find something so amazing and different. To me, that's very spiritual. I think you can be Christian and spiritual, but if you, I don't know, I think, and then you can just be spiritual where you're just, you know, worshiping the create shuns. And also Christianity for me, that has changed because I consider myself more a Bible Christian than just a regular Christian.
Right.
I do think there's a difference in that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's the difference like when you compare the two?
So for me, I go off of what the Bible has taught. So as I started, Christian for me was, I go to church on Sunday. I don't have to follow the commandments because Jesus came and nailed that law to the cross. We just have grace. So no matter how many times you mess up, you know, you just repent and you'll be completely fine.
Yeah.
As I continue to grow in God and seek him, now I'm over here as a Bible Christian where I feel, I know who my ancestors are. I feel like the Bible gives me my history. My ancestors are definitely the Hebrew Israelites. I never meet a bunch of people who act just like us in my life. If you read the Bible, you will see so strongly, I feel like, our history. And I follow the commands, because Jesus did not come to lay the commandments on the cross. He came to lay the law of sacrifice on the cross, so he can be the ultimate sacrifice, which is different because we can't continue to sacrifice the first lamb, right? Mm-hmm. The animals, we can't continue to do that. So he laid the doing sacrifices, so he would be the ultimate sacrifice. His blood would be the ultimate blood that's shed. But if you read throughout, all into from the Old Testament to the New Testament, one thing Jesus even said is, well, how do I get salvation? Follow the commandments. You know, the first one is love thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is love thy neighbor as you love thyself, right? And God also mentions, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So those two are like the basis and strongest ones that you can really do the other 10. So for me, a Bible Christian is someone who follows the word itself, right? I keep my feast days. I keep the Sabbath. I do not go to church on Sunday, because who changed it from Saturday to Sunday? Right. I had to question that. And when you start to dig deep and start questioning these things, you start to realize, like, whoa, I've been lied to so much. And, you know, we all have to seek our own salvation. So when my heart was convicted and I knew I couldn't, like, I couldn't escape that this is what felt like the truth. Not just felt like, I'm reading that this is the truth from the word. If I believe that the word is true, mm-hmm. then I'm going to go by that. Because at least I can go to God at the end in judgment and be like, you said in your word right here that I was supposed to do X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to blame Los or Joey and, you know, somebody else. I'm going to blame God, because, you know.
I just looked it up right now, and it actually said, on March 7th, year 321, it was the Roman Empire, Constantine the First, who was the one who decided that it be changed.
Yes,
from Saturday to Sunday.
And what does the word say? No one should add or subtract from my word. So who gave him the right to change, right? So everybody thinks like there's a difference between Christian and Catholic, but everybody's under a Catholic regime because everybody's going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing what the Catholic said that they mm-hmm. should do. The Bible. God told us, remember my Sabbath. He put it in the commandment. It came down twice with Moses to make sure that we have it. Why would he do that if it's not something that he wanted us to do for generations? And he says it. Mm-hmm. So how the heck did we get somewhere else?
We lost our way along the way.
Yeah.
You know, the Roman Empire oligarchies, you know, they were false gods, most would say, false kings, you know, and they actually did a lot of rearranging of what it was like to be Christian or Catholic, or just because at the end of the day, God was law, mm-hmm. right? This person is king. Why? Because God said so. So that's actually where, like, they did that whole remix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, so the Hebrew Israelites stopped listening because we just don't listen. If you haven't met a bunch of people who don't listen, the Bible is mad dope. I'm telling y'all, it's hella fun to read and explore the Bible. I have a good time reading it because I just be like,
Be turning up.
They didn't listen. Yes, they didn't listen again. Like, it's crazy. So, like, God asked them, they said that they was going to abide by his commands. You make a covenant with God, right? Mm-hmm. Do not make covenants. Y'all need to stop saying, like, oh God, I'm going to do this if you do this. Stop making covenants with God and breaking them and thinking that you won't pay. Right. God is the same God from Genesis to Revelation. So please, right? So they say they're going to do something and they take it back. Like, no, we're going to worship these other gods. We're going to do what we want to do. God's like, all right. Well, I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar, who is a Gentile, who is not a Hebrew, right? And he's going to destroy all this stuff like that. But if y'all do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to have mercy on y'all, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's consequences. No matter what choice we make, good or bad, there is a consequence, right? And if we just want to look at consequence as bad, then there's that's a consequence, and then I guess you can look at it as a reward, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how you started to get the Roman Empire, a lot of them, to start ruling over us, the 12 tribes and stuff like that, because they took us out, because a lot of things don't go down without God's giving approval. People may say, but why? Because you made a choice. You said you was going to do something and you reneged.
Right.
There's an if clause. If you do, you can have X, Y, and Z if you do this. If you don't, calamity. Mm-hmm. They chose calamity. So they got calamity. So that's where we're at.
That's crazy. And as far as like these calamities, that's a big word. I think of like the word climactic, and I'm thinking like, okay, big risk here, right?
Yeah, right.
Some shit's gonna fuck
trauma,
up.
Trauma, big things happening, yeah.
So where along the line were some of these calamities? Because I know we spoke earlier and we spoke about like Christmas and these other things. Would you say those are like a part of these calamities that...
I think that the different holidays that people practice, God warned us in his word about it. And if y'all want, you know, comment under, you know, their stuff on, if you're watching them on YouTube or if you're watching, you can comment it. What I'll do is I'll try to make sure that I have a list of resources for you, because I'm not good with like the scripture stuff, right? At times, but I read so I can always sit down and just get my thoughts together and get provided to you, because I don't like to speak on anything I don't know. So I can provide that to you. If you comment enough and they let me know, you can go to Key Essentials and I'll make sure things are lined out. But I do have some resources for y'all on the journal entries out there already.
Sorry, so. I saw your hand go like that. Like.
So those are just pagan holidays that the Romans was already doing. Mm. And then they just disguised it as like, oh, this is for Christ, right?
Define that word too, pagan.
Pagan, let's look it up. But pagan is, you know, I watch, sidebar. I watch a lot of Young Philly and Chunks from the UK. Do y'all know who they are? Yeah. If y'all know who they are.
They demand them.
They demand them, right? And
the bruvs.
They call everything pagan too, which is crazy because Chunks is a Muslim and like Young Philly is, you know, modern day, you know, I guess Christian and stuff like that too. But they call certain things like pagan, especially like white people. That's not nice though. I wouldn't necessarily do that, but they do. And pagan is a, let's look it up for officially, but I got it right here.
It's a person holding religious belief other than those of the main world religious.
Yeah, so because God says that this is not of what he has asked you to do, it's pagan, it's foreign, it's something that you should not be doing. Worshipping other gods, worshipping their traditions and their goals. So a lot of our Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters, you know, they had to come from Egypt. So like, they were used to worshiping all different types of gods and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Even if you read the story of Moses even taking them out, you'll read that when Moses did something, they were able to do something with their magic and all that as well. So Christmas was more about worshiping something. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about...
worshiping Santa Claus.
Yeah, but Santa Claus was a story that came up that was disguised as everything. But Saint Constantine, it's also about like the solstice and stuff like that. Like they're worshiping of like the sun god and different things like that. So people were all into it, right? Mm. But it has nothing to do with God whatsoever.
Yeah, you blew
same
my mind.
Thing with Easter. Right. People say like, oh, he rose on Easter Sunday, but if you read the Bible, he did not rise on Sunday. He actually went down, I believe it was like in the midweek, which it says that, which would be what? What's the middle of the week?
Wednesday.
A Wednesday. And before they, when Mary came to the sepulcher or the grave, you know, where he was supposed to be there. So when we practice the Sabbath, it's the when the sun goes down on that Saturday, right? It's a new day. She went there right when it was still dark. On the Sabbath, you know, right after the Sabbath, he was already gone. Mm. So how did he rise on Sunday morning if he was already gone?
Mm. I have my own theory on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested.
I just, like, for me, like, you know, it's like, you know, every good story has, like, you know, the truth to it. And, like, yeah, God raised. What if homie was just chilling in, like, the rock, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know. We'll chill out for a bit, come back 3 days later, open this rock up. Oh, shit, he's alive. What if he was, I don't know. That's my own comedic relief.
Essentially, you're saying.
He was chilling, took a little 3 days.
He took a little 3 days vacation.
Weekend trip.
But But he ain't never going to the. He ain't never going to that thing. Is what
he
said.
Yeah, he was just cooler than that. Boom, he just came back. Everybody was like, "Oh shit, he's alive."
You so silly. No, but I mean, he warned people. They said like, "What's to come?" And he said, "Think about Jonah. I'll be there, gone for 3 days and three nights." Right? Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, not 2 days, two nights. And it, like, no. So if you really read the Bible, and it really just takes time to like really sit and read it. And I think that's the biggest issue. Some people just don't want to read the Bible because there's church hurt. And trust me, I was one of those people.
Yep.
Cause my favorite line was, and be brave enough to hold yourself accountable. If you're listening to see like, oh, I say this too. My favorite line was, you know, I rock with God. And I believe in some of his stuff in the Bible, but I don't believe in all of it. So, right? Like, that was the favorite line. Like, I don't really get down with all of it. But I was saying that and saying it so with such vibrato, but I never read it for myself. So how could I really say that? I only know from what other people told me until I decided to just start reading it myself. And that's when things started to make sense. And then I had help from a church that started to connect to show me. And the church that I got involved with, I was reluctant, but the only thing that was stopping me from dealing with them was because I cared what other people thought. And when I realized that there was no validity, like, I cared more what people thought because I was like, dag, okay, Hebrew Israelites, they have a bad name, some of them, right? They just think about the people on the street to go, the white man should kiss my feet, which we do not believe. Like, there are others who do not believe that because that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
All will come. You know what I mean? All are invited. So God went out to preach to the Gentiles, made sure that Paul preached to the Gentiles. Why would he do that if he was just going to smoke them all at the end of the day? That's not how, our God is not an unfair God. So I cared more about what people thought. And then it was like, oh, I'm tripping. Like, I care more about salvation. I care more about being on the right side of the kingdom. And what I read was like, I couldn't dispute like what I'm reading. Like, we line upon line, precept upon precept, we let the book speak for itself. We don't try to do interpretations. If we don't know, we don't know. We ask God for understanding, but it's what the Bible says instead of, this is what I think happened based on this one line, and we don't think about the context, who's saying it, why are they saying it, you know, things like that. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, and just like, I just wanted to piggyback on what you said on people thinking of, or caring about other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I felt with Christianity. So like when I was younger, I was in Bible study from 11 to 13 with the church on Sunday with my moms. And it was cool because I saw, you know, my youth leaders that looked like me. I'm like, all right, they cool, you know what I mean? Like, this Christianity stuff could be kind of cool, you know what I mean? It's interesting. But at the same time, it's like,
right.
But at the same time, I have a lot of different interests, and I felt like I was getting judged for like the interests that I have and live in a certain way. And then like the older folks in the church would kind of be very judgmental and try to like shove the religion down your throat a little, like, you know what I mean? That's probably a bad choice of words, but that's how I felt like going to church. So it's like, that's why I kind of stray away and I consider myself spiritual with Christian values. And we spoke about that too. Like, everybody's idea of Christianity is different. But yeah, that's kind of my battles with that. And also too, the contradiction within the religion, which there is contradiction in many religion, but just seeing it, you know, firsthand in the church.
I had a homeboy who was, I'm saying he's a homeboy, but I kind of like him.
Homeboy, shoot your shot. Stop playing.
I just say he's a friend. Oh my gosh. Anyway,
he knows who he is.
I'm mad comfortable with y'all right now because that caught me off guard.
He knows who he is. He knows who he is.
Whatever. Whatever. Anyway, so, but I'm still single. So,
PSA.
Shoot your shots. I'm just saying.
Come right,
essentials.
Though. Right, yeah, come right, though. Yeah, thank come you. Right. Thank you, bro.
Of course, I got you.
Love you. So, I had a friend who he was talking to me about like the Bible, right? And he was just like, and I, you know, we was getting down to the thick, and I was like, yo, you got some hurt here or something. He was like, yeah. He was like, I've seen people read the Bible day and night, right? But they don't bear the fruits. Like, they don't listen to what it's saying. And it's true. Like, there are some people, even though I don't.
Or lack the relationship with God.
Yes. And that's the thing. I think that some people think about being, right? I want to be. So, I mean, think about doing so much, right? They do. I'm going to church. I'm hosting a Bible study. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But they don't have a real relationship with God because they haven't had the time to be with God. If you remember when Mary, I think it was Mary and her sister. This is why I'm like, y'all remember when he was getting ready to be crucified. And she was like, one of them was like, come on, like, we got to do, she's not helping me. Like, one was sitting at his feet and the other one was like doing stuff around, you know, getting stuff ready. And one of them started to complain. And was like, oh, she's not helping me. He was like, she's doing exactly what she needs to do. And it's the essence of being with God versus feeling like you have to do so much. And I'm not saying faith without works is, I'm not saying that you can't, you're not supposed to like serve, right? But there are times that we need to sit and be. I know a person who told me when I told her that things were changing in regards to how I see the word. And she was like, you know what? I applaud you because I read the Bible all the time and I still don't know what the heck is going on. But she's serving so hard at the church. And it's essential. Like, God gave us the book for a reason. The reason why the enemy got so many people not wanting to read it is because he knows that once you read it, there's a lot of things that will set you free. Because I think that when you start to read the Bible itself, you start to get an understanding of how God operates so that when you're in this world with so much wickedness, you're prepared and you're not fooled because the enemy is going to fool you. He's come to fool the whole world. You're not exempt. So yeah, there are so many, like when he spoke to me about it, he was just like, yeah, like you got people talking about the Bible all day, or they reading it constantly, but they don't do nothing of what the Bible talks about. Right. And it's true. A lot of people sit there and read something and be like, yeah, but God knows my heart. I don't got to do all that. Like, that's not what I got to do.
Hey, that's my excuse. I ain't going to hold you. I'd be like, God got me. I'm going to smoke this dope, but hey, listen, hey, God.
But again.
You understand my true intentions.
But again, right? Like, somebody will look at you and say, oh, you're smoking weed, you're drinking, and you are sinning. Mm-hmm. Show me in the Bible where it says that, because I can show you where it says that God said on his feast day to go and get a strong drink and drink wine. What is a strong drink? Now, he don't say, he didn't say smoke weed, right? He didn't, it's not in the Bible that you can't smoke, but it does talk about a sober mind, right? So you have to have the wisdom to understand what that is and what's that for you. Mm-hmm. Point blank, I don't smoke at this time for me because I don't want to influence younger children who I work with or anything. I don't ever want them to see me and be influenced. But I can't sit here and say that smoking weed is a sin. Now, crack and heroin, all those other things that distort your mind for you to not be have a sober mind, which the enemy then can use you, is different. And if weed attacks you a different way, you have to have wisdom. I don't believe anything should have a power over you. If you are, because weed can be addictive, let's be real. Weed can be addictive. I know for me, it got to a point where it was. So I don't like for anything to be over me, but we got to be careful what people are saying are sins. That's why you got to read your Bible for yourself. We're out here saying, quoting things that people have said for years. Find it, show me in the Bible, because it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not there.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Because I feel like I have to ask this, just not for like clarity for myself, but like for other people. When it comes to Israelites, right? And I know the devotion to the Word of God and how like you guys stick to it. Do you guys hate white people? Do you not like white people? Like,
no.
Where's the... Like, no, white people. Like,
so this
where'd that come from?
This is my thing.
I'm with it. I'm just like, you know.
No. So this is why... No, so this is why sometimes I shy away from even sometimes saying Hebrew Israelite, but I'm being, you know, transparent. I don't subscribe. There's just like if you look at Christian, you got the Baptist, you got the Pentecostal, right? Unfortunately, we constantly always so separated, but there are some who read the word and still distort it. The church that I follow, we take what we see. There's no different interpretation. We don't go out and read the lost books and all this other stuff. We read the Bible, right? When you start dabbling into other stuff, it gets crazy. I don't know where their hate comes from. I can't speak on it because when I read the word, it shows me that that's not what I should do. You know what I mean? I can't look at another person, another human at all, especially if they believe in Jesus Christ, and tell them just because of their skin that they should kiss my feet. So especially when we've been under so much, curses and stuff like that. So I don't know what they subscribe to. You got to get one of those brothers that wear the purple and the fringes and stuff like that from the streets and have them in here and talk about it. Because I can't, I don't know where in the word it tells them that they should do that. Now, I do understand that we have Edomites who are those who are Jews now, right? Because they are converted Jews. When Herod was in, you know, in control, a lot of people converted to Judaism. I can't say that I'm a Jew because I don't know what tribe I come from. The three that were left was Levites, Benjamites, and Jews. I can't tell you which one I came from, so I can't claim that I'm a Jew. But there are those who converted, and, you know, it's passed down. Some people may be upset, like, oh, they're stealing our birthright. But if you read the word, nobody's stealing nothing. Our time will come. So it is, you know, it is what it is. But they are, a lot of them are converted.
All right. No, I just asked that because that's like one thing that I've always felt like I agree. I always think, you know, like as we all walk on our righteous path,
yeah,
that we hold certain things close to our chest, mm-hmm. and, you know, we know what we believe in, and, you know, we hold on to those things. But that was just like that one thing that, yeah, I was like, I fuck with y'all,
but
I can't ride with y'all.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that a lot of people may look at that and really be like, I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why I was like, I don't know if I can subscribe. Like, how do I? Mm-hmm. But the people that I'm the Israel God of Bible study class, like, they're not like that whatsoever. And I don't. There's certain things that I still question. And I'm constantly searching, but that's why my heart is constantly open, because I got to this point. I just told y'all, I went from like denouncing Jesus, worshiping crystals and the moon, you feel me? Believing, I went through a whole process and I'm here. If God wants to lay something else on my heart and convict me, I'm open to it. I'm never closed-minded. You know, I'm going to constantly grow. And I think that's the beauty. Whatever he reveals to me, I'm just going to obey and keep going. But as long as it aligns with his word, because I do believe that this word is true. I do.
I fuck with that.
Yeah, and it definitely was a journey too, like seeing what you was, you know, believing in, like you say, your, yeah, crystals, the zodiacs, astrology, things like that. Yeah,
wrapped up with me.
Right. And like Leo this, Leo that.
Facts. I was Leo'd out. You couldn't tell me. Ask me my sign today, Jesus Christ.
Hey.
There you go. That's my man's.
Yeah, I don't believe in that and that stuff neither.
50 grand.
Niggas be like, you a Leo.
Right.
Get away from me. Be like.
But I say that
what
to.
What I do to you? I don't know you.
Right. But I say that to say this, that, you know, your path has been different. And most people tell you, like what we were just talking about earlier, oh, in order to be a devout Christian or the right Christian, you got to go to church. You got to read the Bible. You got to do this. But everybody's path is different. Everybody's relationship is different. Everybody's faith is different. So hearing your journey for a person who doesn't go to church, some people from the outside look at them like, what, a church? Like,
yeah,
nah,
I don't.
That's not a real Christian. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
facts.
And that's where like the judgment comes again. Like, that's what I was mentioning earlier. Like,
I don't. Well, I started trying to go to a class, right? Where we, you know, like I told you, it's a Bible study class. So we really like sit down. I just started you know, trying to go as far. And I'm going to be consistent.
Where is it, in Brooklyn?
No, it's in Jersey.
Sheesh.
I know. And
it's right there.
Yeah, but I do drive because I did get my license. Shout out to me. But
cheers to that.
But I had to take that train. And it's nothing. I'm just trying to watch my words because I don't. So I'm starting to go to the Bible study class. And even when I wasn't going to a physical church, I remember searching for a church, but sometimes my spirit, certain things just didn't feel right. And I do believe that if you're not going to a class, like, you should be taught. The Bible does talk about it, but you should read your Bible. Mm. I do believe that. I feel like I was bamboozled a lot out of reading it. And just trusting pastors to just guide me. You know, I just opened it up on a Sunday and that's it. I do believe people should dive in. I want to change that narrative that, you know, it's like, just try it.
Uh-huh.
just try it. Like, I literally went through the whole phase of, like I said, I don't really bang with it like that. I don't until I was like, you know what? How can I really say that without, let me at least read it. Then I can come back and be like, this is why I don't bang with it, because it says X, Y, and Z. I haven't had a reason not to. And I've been at my lowest. I've needed people, and people did not come through. And the one, my father has always come through for me. So I want whatever he has for me. I can't subscribe to anybody else. I'm like, I've been in some really dark places, and it's crazy to be where I'm at right now. And I know, like, I'm sticking with this. This is working. So, like I keep saying, we all got to seek out our own salvation. But I never felt love like this in my life. And Carlos knows I'm a love head. Mm-hmm. I'm a love head. I love love. I love giving love.
Yeah, we some certified lovers.
Certified lovers, certified, yo.
Lover boy and girl over here.
And
I don't subscribe.
And I've never felt love like this. Seeking after God has allowed me to finally get into a space where I've learned to love myself a lot more too. So, and therefore I can give love with boundaries, right, in a more effective and healing way than I was before. Because I was just like, you get it, you get it, you get the love, you get the love.
Throw the Oprah gift, right? On it.
You get it. Just all messed up. But so yeah, I want people to experience this love that I'm feeling. And I say that, you know, diving into the word allows you to have, like, build that relationship with him in your own time. And just praying. Don't think about praying as something so dramatic. Just have a conversation with him. If you cussing in the beginning and that's how you rocking with it, just be you, be real. And have a conversation with him.
Right.
And be consistent. And then be obedient. I say this, OCD. Obedience, consistency, and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll walk with God. And I think it will really get you far.
I fuck with that. I think, like, I'm wearing this sweater right now, so I'm the little promo. But everything that I get from what you're saying speaks to one of the things that, like, one of our pillars as far as, like, what be you, being yourself and being real is following your heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you holding that example as far as someone who's, like, stepping into a new space from, like, the beginning of your journey, right? Like, you cared about what people thought of you and validity and things of that sort, and you stepped into this new space, and you, at the end of the day, the only thing that you did was, like, you followed God's word. Why? Because you knew deep down in your heart it was the right path for you.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, you know, continuing doing that work, and I fucking love it.
Thank you. I really love this. I felt so comfortable, I think, coming here, because it's essential that I be myself, right?
Absolutely.
So I can't not be myself without having this raw conversation. So I thank y'all for, like, a space like this, for sure.
And you talked about being consistent and obedient with God. And how do you suggest one start? Because I go through this all the time. We have these conversations where I want to pray, but the guilt of not speaking to God on a consistent basis or only going to God when I need him kind of strays me away from praying when I should just pray and not be feared or judged, you know, about him. So it's like, what's a good way of starting that consistency?
I don't, you know, when people, I feel like when I've talked to people, I'll tell them to, like, oh, you know, build a regimen, build this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like, if you keep it on the forefront of your heart and mind, right? Like, if it's something that you can't stop thinking about, like, having that relationship, it's going to come. It may bring you to your knees in order for you to come to him, right? And sometimes you got to get dropped down so that the only way you can get up is by his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you don't ever want to get back to it. Because I think for me, if I'm being realistic, I got to a space where I was so tired of crying. I was so tired of seeing the dream behind my eyelids. You know what I mean? I'm so tired of the cycles that I was in and seeing, I felt like just life passing me by. And submitting to him is like, all right, I'm really going to do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of trying to be in the gray. You know, like Jonathan McReynolds has this really good song, No Gray. And God, it really is black and white when you read his word. Excuse me. And, you know, I was tired of trying to like finagle this relationship so I can have what I want and, you know, try to do it his way. And eventually I just submitted and said, you know, I'm gonna just really try to do it your way. And I feel like it's been a blessing ever since. And I want to clear this up with people. So like to really answer your question, it's like, keep trying, mm-hmm. keep at it. Like if you start on Monday and you forget to do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you do it again, just keep doing it. And each time that you feel bad, allow that to lead you, because eventually mm-hmm. it's gonna guide you yeah. to him. That's the only thing I can say, is that just keep at it. One day, God willing, you are going to be in a space where you will get so convicted that it's like, I don't want to do it this other way. You know what I mean? Right. I really want to. And it's about, like I said, it's about that relationship, because I don't believe people should do things out of obligation. Like if I'm dating you, I don't want you to call me because you feel obligated to call me. I saw your face go up, but I don't want you to just call me because you feel like, oh, she's going to be mad if I don't call her. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Like, I want you to call me because you want to call me. God wants that type of relationship with you. He don't want you to just do things because you feel like you have to do things. Mm-hmm. He wants you to do things because you want to build with him. That's when people ask, like, why my prayers are not being answered? Because once the moment he probably answered them, you're going to run away and do whatever you want to do, and you're not going to be talking to him. He wants relationship. If you think about Genesis, his whole purpose, he built people to commune with him. Mm-hmm. He wants a relationship with you. He don't want you to just use him as a genie. Like, that's not what he's about. So
you got to be reciprocal with him.
Yeah. So I think it's really about figuring out what type of relationship you want with him, mm-hmm. right? Are you doing it because you feel obligated to do it? Or are you doing it because you really want to figure out who this person is and how to build with this person? You know, like, I think there's a difference in that.
I love where you're taking this, because it's something that we wanted to point out. It's like relationships and relationship with God and answers that he gets. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're a woman of God, mm-hmm. and there's certain things that come with that. Mm-hmm. One thing that we really mm-hmm. wanted to talk about is like, how is someone in your position, like, what's the dating life like? Like, do you practice abstinency? Because, you know, that's like things that people pray for. And people be like, oh, I want to find my husband. Especially people who are like heavy into religion. Right.
Ooh, child, let me sip, you know, some of this wine.
I know folks that have been like, they be 17 years old. Yeah. And they'll get married because, you know, I mean, of course, they're praying to God at the same time. But they want to find that person. They want to build. They want to have kids and all that stuff. And you know, how's that going for you, like, to segue into that type of, like, realm?
Relationship, yeah.
What the girls be saying, they want that Ciara prayer that they got.
Listen.
Get a Russell Wilson
or a Joey B.
Say. he's so silly. Dating has been interesting. I think that's also because I'm being pruned, right? Like I mentioned, I was such a love head, so essentially, that came from a lot of, I didn't have self-worth, right? I had low self-esteem, that I was just giving it out like, you know, ain't nobody's business. I'm my love, and that came through my body as well. So I didn't stop having sex, actually, because, and I talk about this on the last, on like Experience 17 and 18, it's called Somebody's Daughter on my podcast.
Check that out. Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Yes, thank you. And I didn't start abstaining from sex because of God. I started because I was tired of giving my stuff. I was tired of giving it to people who wasn't appreciating me. Like, I was tired of ending up in situationships, all these different things. And I feel like I'm giving some really great stuff and they don't deserve it. So I really stopped because of that. And when I stopped, it was like, I bet, like, I'm a wait till the person comes and they come correct. Like, mm-hmm. I'm waiting for him to come to me and be like, ooh, girl, I want to be with you. I am showing you that you are the one. You are the one I want to be with. And then I was going to open it back up. I was mm-hmm. going, you know, I was going to have sex again. And then by the grace of God, I started reading the word and I was like, oh, I think I'm going to wait till marriage. But I would say this throughout my life, I would have these strong feelings of, and little shoe notice, I would be like, I think I'm supposed to be single. Mm-hmm. I think God wants me to be single to work on myself. And I think that I'm supposed to stop, like, abstain from sex and wait. And I would have these strong feelings and then just kind of like, you know, talk to the guy I'm dating or see another fine guy and be like, well, you know, I heard it, but you know, it is what it is. So yeah, when I started reading the word more, I was like, I felt convicted and I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna wait till marriage. And I had people around me like, you sound crazy. We gonna keep doing us. And I'm like, I hear y'all, but I think I'm gonna really do this. And I did. And it wasn't easy. Well, let me not say it's easy when you don't have like a guy like that you're entertaining. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, but my sex has always been connected to emotions, right? So it was never like, oh, he just fine. I want to be with him. It's like he has to kind of really, I need to know his heart. He needs to know mine before I can even
The attention has to be
feel.
There.
Yeah. So it wasn't like I'm sitting here like, oh my gosh, I need it. It wasn't like that because it's always been this different type of connection for me to want to give my body to somebody. Now, don't get it twisted. I would be very flirtatious and very much into the realm of like, ooh, let's kiss like we, you know, like we young again. Let's be all up on, let's dry hump. Let's do all the stuff that we're not supposed to do. You know what I mean? That could lead to it, right?
Sorry.
So
it's always like it's quiet for all that.
So I definitely was into all that.
I'm into that.
But now I like stop because I don't want to. I think that's wrong for me to tempt a guy, like knowing that I'm not gonna go any further, and for me to get him all riled up.
Yeah,
I think that's unfair.
We don't like a tease.
Don't.
Blue balls.
Yeah,
that's worse than a period.
All right. Like, what?
Word to everything.
Have you had one?
Blue balls?
Nah. No, a period.
Oh, I've never had a period.
Nah, so I don't know if you can compare.
We can't. You can't compare the two.
Nah, blue balls. I swear to God, like you know how
a period is preparing you for childbirth.
I hear that. I respect that.
Here we go.
But think about it like
this. Listen to this. Yeah.
Right.
With blue balls, you can't walk.
Sometimes with your period, you can't walk.
Sometimes. Ain't no times. Blue balls, you like this, like, because you got, it's like, you know, it's like you clogged up and you can't, your body's just immobilized.
We're not getting that on a consistent basis.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Of course. That I'm just saying the feeling when it happens, that shit is the worst.
I don't know. We got to see I don't know, because a cramp ain't no joke.
A cramp is no joke. And I've been there. I've played the doctor role of sending a hot towel and all that jazz. I've been there. I'm just saying.
For a contraction, because again, it's preparing you for childbirth. So a contraction sometimes is what these cramps feel like, along with the discomfort. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it lasts for a very long time. Whereas I'm assuming, you can correct me if I'm wrong because you may have went through this, but a blue ball, right? I don't know how long that lasts.
That could last about 8 to 10 hours.
That's crazy. 7 to 10 days.
No, not 7 to 10 days. But just that feeling of
moment.
That immobilization.
It's intense. It's intense. So
I don't know how we got there.
I don't know either.
We were just talking about her intentions, like she would never put.
Yeah, but to women who are on their journey of abstinence, like if you know you're not gonna get to the, you know, because I would be strong, like I'm definitely not having sex with him. Like there's no way. But then why am I even entertaining him in that space? And these are the things that I've learned throughout my dating process, right? Like as a woman who is waiting till marriage, I've learned these things. And that was also because where I was in my walk with God, right? I was not looking for a specific guy. I wasn't doing things with intention, right? So like now it's like more about attracting a guy who understands where I'm at with God and who's going to honor that. And he needs to have a mirrored, you know, relationship with God as well. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at in my relationship. I don't think it's hard. I think the right person who's going to, I've had someone come into my life and be on some like really, I've had a guy who boasts that he's all Christian, right? He's loves God so much. And this is before I feel like I came into more of the truth, right? But he was so like, oh, yeah, I tried to date a girl and she wasn't with, you know, with abstaining from sex, but he still dated her, which means you made a choice. But anyway, so, you know, he was so grateful for me, but yet he did not honor my purity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to act like I did not have fault in it, too. I take accountability mm-hmm. because, you know.
You was playing games?
I was playing games.
Well, you don't have to say playing more games in the NBA.
And things didn't go great. And then I come into another situation or talk to another person who is not so heavy, I guess, like, quote unquote, in how they walk with God, but they are men of their word. And they come to you like, I will never jeopardize your purity. Mm-hmm. And their actions back that up, mm-hmm. you know? So women, sometimes we're looking, and men, sometimes we think that we want a person who is, they got to be doing this, they got to be doing that. But you'll be surprised who God may send your way to just show you how things are. Somebody may not be exactly where you are, but their morals and values are so on point, it's so aligned with yours that they may get to that level where they are with God in a different manner. And it's not for you to necessarily get them there. It's for you to just be patient and kind of go with the process if that's, you know, where you're at. It was a little sidebar, but yeah. So yeah, that's where I'm at. You know, I wait until God over here all day, every day. You already know. And you know, waiting for that right person to come along. Some guys are with it, some guys are not. And if you are, though, PSA, I just want to let everyone know that I am definitely single at this time. I don't know which, you know, I am single. And if you are interested, if you find me attractive, no, you can slide into my DMs and holla at me, but come correct.
Yeah, come correct. You're going to have to come through the big dog.
You know what I mean? And like, know about God. That's what I just have a relationship and know your stuff. I'm still working on me though. I think I'm really single because God is really pruning me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm learning but this time I feel like there's such a peace in how he's like getting me together. You know, I'm fleshing out my insecurities. Because mm-hmm. I think theoretically we learn stuff, right? I'm a social worker. I do therapy with other people. Theoretically we understand stuff, but to practice it is something different, right? You have to be faced with situations to be able to practice what you have theoretically understood. And when you have mastered or at least gotten through, I guess, that process, and you know, like, oh, this is my trigger, this is this. These are the beautiful things that I feel like I am, the space that I'm operating in. And it's so wonderful. I love this healing process, honestly.
I love that for you.
Thank you. I really do.
That's one thing. So you said the word peace. Like, how did you come to peace with that? Like, you're a woman in your 30s. You practice abstinence, waiting for that right guy. Like, when did you? Because most women will get overwhelmed. And men, too. You know, they at a certain age. Like, oh, I'm still single. I don't have nobody. Like, what? How did you find peace in that whole process?
That is a good question, because you do get the comparison bug, which I do think. I do believe comparison is the root, is another tactic of the enemy for sure.
Yeah.
Because how dare you compare where you think you should be versus where God has you at right now. And at first, I'm not going to lie, it was, all right, God, like, what's up? You know, like, what are we doing here? But I also have to turn it on me and say, like, what have you been doing? It's a relationship. You know, I look at it like I have to take accountability in how what I'm doing to work on myself. And yeah, so first it was very hard because I had the comparison bug. I'm sitting here like, all right, time's a ticking. Am I going to be able to have kids? You know what I mean? Like, yes, I look like I'm 20-something years old, right? But at the same time, I'm like, you know, approaching a certain thing, you know, a certain age where they claim that you can't have kids. But then that's where my faith came in, where it's like, I'm going to trust you. Like, yeah. God, I'm going to trust you. I know you. Because I've had people literally tell me, you need to just give it up. Mm-hmm. Just start having, like, you. This is stupid. I've had people try to tell me, like, you're not going to find
give the type it up. Of
man you want. Yeah. And I have to remind people that I know the God that I serve. I know the miracles that I've seen him bring someone back to life. That the doctors told them, you might as well pull the plug. And God gave them new breath. So I have faith that God can do anything. And I'm not trying to say that I'm 30-something and it's like, girl, you gonna need this miracle. No, I'm just saying, like, I believe that he will come through for what I've, the desires, I do believe that he will give me the desires of my heart. And yeah, and I'm also trying to figure out what, balancing the understanding of why did I want to get married so bad? Mm. You know, sometimes we want this because we grew up with this understanding versus now I have more of an understanding that I want to get married to glorify God. And how does that look? And what does that mean? And how am I walking in that? And where am I at? Am I the virtuous woman that my man, that God is preparing that man to come and to be with? You know what I mean? Like, do I have my stuff together? So I'm, you know, balancing all that stuff. But it was hard in the beginning. And then I just started to remember the God that I serve. And I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like, I'm good. That's what God gives, peace. So when you start to have faith in him and trust him, that peace comes in like a overflow.
Right. And what I think you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right. Because so far, like, you know, I don't, like, it's not about comparison or anything like that. You know, I think, like, for me, I lead with love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I throw true intention into everything that I do. And if you truly out there, like, you know, God willing, you find somebody and y'all going to have kids. If, you know, if it's true love and you guys are intentional about having kids, it will happen.
Yeah.
You know, my parents, you know, had kids at an older age mm-hmm. where it's not like normal for Dominican families to have, you know, kids in their 30s or, you know, in all over the world it happens. And I was just looking it up and there's a woman who had a kid at the age of 66.
Mm. Jeez.
So, you know, you're going to be all right, baby. You're going to be all right.
I mean, God, I know you are listening. I do not want to be up there at the 66.
Definitely not 66.
At that point, all the children that I have counted throughout the world, they would just be my children. But, you know, whatever's in your will, let it be done.
That's a fact.
Because I am just a servant of yours. And, you know, do as you please. I am here. So, yeah. Yeah, man.
No, and then speaking about children, you was also a social worker. Worked with a lot of kids, especially a lot of black and brown kids, kids that, you know, look like us, that come from the same background. And you mentioned earlier too, this was off camera, that children are your purpose. How has working with children, you know, kind of brought you to where you are now? And how you discovered that purpose?
You know what's so crazy? I remember I had graduated from undergrad, thought I was gonna be a lawyer. Everybody was like, yeah, you should be a lawyer my whole life. And it took me 6 years to go to grad school because I didn't know what the freak I wanted to do. I actually remember my undergrad teacher saying, like, when you get to law school, because he used to call me counsel in the class, when you get to law school, you're going to sit in this class and they're going to make you read, like, 300 pages in a day. And each day, you're going to see the class just, like, sift through, and it's gonna be like it's gonna be down to like 5 people or something like that. And I don't know why that scared the crap out of me, because I was like, man, I don't even be reading young books. I'll be skimming the hell out of them. So 300 pages, like, get me out of here. And I had such a love for law, and I tried to find easy ways out, like, how can I get to make a law firm type situation without having to go to school? How can I counsel and help people without having to? And I was all over the place, and I would look for jobs to be a legal counsel, but nothing was hitting, y'all, like nothing. And I remember, like, reading this book about my purpose. I remember 25 when I 20 my year of the 20 year 25 going into 26 was such a big year for me, because 26 years old is when I launched National Good Deeds Day. And
damn, I was at 26?
Mm-hmm, because 25, I was going through this process of figuring out my purpose and, you know, and I remember reading some question about what are the things that made me so upset, and I was like, definitely injustice, anything with injustice. Like, I was that kid when I was younger that if the girl or boy was like, the teacher told me I couldn't use the bathroom, I was like, who said you couldn't use the bathroom? Yes, you can. I'm young. Like, yes, you can. What's going to happen if you just pee on yourself right now? What's she going to do? You know, like, I'm always fighting for somebody else. And I remember going to this event that a friend's mother, where we had to, like, help kids, and she was a social worker, and we was helping kids at the school, and I remember feeling so fulfilled. And I watched the different things that she was doing, and it resonated so much to my heart. And I was like, I think I want to go to school for social work, which nobody gets into social work if you're trying to, like, get money and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Not to say that you can't make money in social work. You just got to be hella innovative. And, yeah, like, I went down that path of going to school and figuring it out. And there's nothing like when I did my first internship. I'm still close to those kids till this day. The lip gloss that I have on my lips is from one of the kids who has a brand called Golden Lips. Make sure y'all check that out. And she, like, working with those high school kids, I felt a different type of joy. Mm. And it is nothing. Like, I can work hours and hours and hours and hours with kids. If you give me all the other stuff that I have to do in my life, like, I will complain, I will whatever. But I can sit and work with kids for hours. And the impact that I was having on them and the passion that I had behind it, it never feels like work. It never feels like work. So I knew that that was something that was big. And that's the one thing that I have. Like, I may have something syndrome. Y'all know that we all get it in the workplace.
Try to describe it.
When you don't feel like you are equipped to work in the space that you're working in, you don't feel you're worthy or you have the skills, even though you do. I forgot what it's called, but it's something syndrome. I've talked about it before, but I may have that in other areas of my life where I feel inadequate, where I feel like I can't compete or I can't do things. The one thing that I'm extremely confident in is the impact I can have with children. Like, I can counsel any kid. I'm confident in counseling adults as well, but there's nothing like the work I do with kids. It's going to come to me. Something syndrome. I'm very
imposter
confident.
Syndrome.
Imposter. Mm. Thank you. Imposter syndrome. Yes, I can have that in it, like, other situations. But when it comes to working with kids, I know that's something I can do. I know that's a gift that God's given me, amongst other things, that is definitely one gift. Because I know it's not just me.
Yeah.
The impact of the things that I've seen be done through me, it's like, it's not just me. I know his hands is on it.
Yeah, for sure. I think it becomes a point in your life where you decide, you know, what's bigger picture or something bigger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in general, just being like a selfless individual. And that takes time. I understand you said you were 25.
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, and shit, you know, you're still young yourself. It's kind of hard to get to that point and already know that you suffer. Right? But you had mentioned National Good Deeds, you know, for the listeners. What is that? What does that consist of? How did you come about it? What's that entail?
So National Good Deeds Day happened. It's a holiday. It's on August 18th.
It's a holiday.
It's a holiday, y'all.
You hear this?
You should be celebrating it.
Take the day off.
Facts. And do good deeds for other people. So literally...
And it's your birthday.
It's
shows the selflessness in itself.
So 25 was such a change for me. I don't know. I just remember feeling like, I just want to love. I just want to spread love to the world. I just want to, like... I want people to be their best selves and, you know, different things like that. I remember just really strongly feeling that. And I was like, you know, instead of, and I believe in us doing things for each other. Like, I believe in the understanding of community, right? When we get together and we look out for each other and we stand together as one, there's so much power in what we could do. Mm-hmm. And just like, I think about, like, in the Bible, I think it talks about Babel, where, like, God was like, look at them. They're all working together and they're about to build up to come so they can get to heaven. And they were going to succeed. So what he did was he broke up everything and gave them all different languages, because technically they were too unholy to be with God anyway. But yeah, so like us working together, there's so much power in that.
Yes.
And I wanted people to be selfless and look outside themselves for a day. So I was like, you know, on a day that I'm supposed to be looked at, and on a day that I'm supposed to kind of move, I guess, society-wise, like, all think all about myself. I was like, let me flip it and ask people that instead of doing something for me, do for other people, yeah. right? Give clothing, yeah. give your time. I think the first good National Good Deeds Day we ever did, we went to hospitals, we gave toys away. Mm-hmm. We used to give like little affirmation cards out, pay for someone's food or Starbucks or anything like that. And we were just on our feet in the streets, like driving up to people, hugging them, doing stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then as time went on, it was a thing that kept pressing on me. And this is something I felt like I sat with God in regards to National Good Deeds Day too. I feel like I sat with him during that time when I was younger and kind of figured out this is something I wanted to do. And then as time went on, I always envisioned it as a block party. Like I'm from Harlem, but I reside in the Bronx, right? Shout out to the Bronx, shout out to Harlem. All day, every day. Right? And so I always envisioned it as this big block party, just like the Puerto Rican Day Festival, right? Like I grew up right next to that on the east side. So I've always seen like 112th Street to 116th Street kind of like blocked off. And I envisioned like this big stage and Teyana Taylor and Dave East coming through. Because, you know, they from Harlem and Dave East from the east side. So in rock, like I envisioned them coming through, doing some performances and really having all these resources for free. Mm-hmm. That's how I first envisioned it. So I was like, I was turning 30. No, was it when I turned 30? Yeah, it was when I turned 30 that I had the first block party. And it was amazing. We gave out clothing. We had people doing, I had a girl who's an amazing artist. She does a painting. She did a paint and sip or paint and give for the kids. We had a bouncy house. We had free food.
Face painting for the kids.
Book bag giveaways. Yeah.
School supplies.
Different resources for mental health and things like that. It was great. And then we continued until the pandemic. But it's still a holiday. It's still, oh. I'm trying to build it into a foundation. God willing, it will come.
I love that. Two things, you know. Mm-hmm. One, it being, you know, just that act alone of doing it on your birthday speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we come to the normalization that, you know, it's our birthday. It's the day that we came into this earth. Let's celebrate ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I align with you as far as, like, trying to, like, way I look at it is, when it's your birthday, it's like, okay, this is the day that you came into this earth, mm-hmm. right? What are you leaving behind when you leave this earth, right? Mm. Right? So the day that you came into this earth, you're setting a foundation of something that is going to be here when you're gone.
Wow.
So now it's like, it's not just your birthday, but it's just your presence. Your presence will be here forever. That's something that I've always believed in, right? Wow. Like, and I love the fact that you're like doing events and, oh, you're doing this holiday, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. on your birthday, because like, you know, like for me, it's like, I hate, and I know there's people out there in this where I hate being celebrated. Mm. Like, not even on some humble shit. I don't like the attention. I'd rather I'd rather me turn up for somebody else than turn up for myself.
I just want to let y'all know I was not like that. I used to have it was like five celebrations. Yeah. It was a brunch. It was a dinner. It was a party. It was a beach. Like,
I was going to attest to that because I'm like, damn, back in the day, like she had a whole itinerary for her birthday.
But you know what? That also came from insecurity. That came from, trauma of not feeling loved enough. Mm-hmm. So I tried to curate that myself. Did it work out? Not all the time, because some people would flop and not. I was never fully satisfied. I started to become satisfied when I turned it away from myself, actually, and started doing National Good Deeds Days. Those are some of my best birthdays absolutely ever. And it's hard work. It's not like we be working hard, because right after that, we go and we hand out blessing bags to the homeless, right? Which I call our distant cousins, right? Which really look out for them. And so we give blessing bags out to them, and that's like an all night thing. And then we finally come home and we kind of relax. So yeah, I love what you said though, like in regards to like leaving a mark on the day, you know, I never thought about it like that. Beautiful.
I think it's something that, you know, should be highlighted, and that's what we're all about on this show. It's like, what are you doing that's, you know, uplifting, you know, our community and the people around them? And the fact that you're doing it on your birthday, I think it leaves an even stronger mark. Because it's like, you know, how we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Shit, now we got National Youth Day. This is about to become a fucking national holiday, and it's gonna be named after you, or it's just gonna become after you, because it's something that you started with a purpose that, hey, it's my day, but I want it to be bigger than myself. And that's essentially what all good people who see the bigger picture, who think beyond themselves, do. So I just wanted to, one, give you your flowers.
Thank you.
On that, because that's amazing. And I think it's an example of what a lot of people, you know, should look at and strive for.
Thank you so much. I'm going to make it into a foundation, and we'll be able, National Good Deeds Day Foundation will be able to give out scholarships to kids that want to go to college, you want to do something creative. That's some of the goals and many big, you know, other things along with that. But thank you so much. You just really like filled me up with that. Thank you.
Come on, baby.
That's what we're here for. And that attests to also to your personal growth as well. You know what I mean? Like I said, having complete 180, because you was all about your birthday. And I'm like, damn, like, yo, I just
tell me nothing.
Right, like, yo, we just had a dinner. Why we gotta
do this?
And they
had to go, every last one of them. He was like, we can't choose between the dinner and the, no, you and this one, y'all have to come to every last one of them. So I was hella selfish. Like, it's all about me. But again, that was really rooted in, like, as an adult, I can really see that was really rooted in my insecurity, my trauma, not feeling loved enough, not feeling seen. Yeah. So I wanted to curate a space where I felt seen and loved. Mm-hmm. I really did. That was really rooted in a lot of trauma, for sure.
And that shows the growth and the self-love as well, you know?
Yeah, because now I haven't. So when the block party stopped during the pandemic, but I also felt, before I knew that I wasn't going to be able to have one, I felt strongly that I wasn't going to do the block party again. Mm-hmm. But I think that was because I needed to refocus where I was in order to do it. So now I kind of give my time, because there's so many ways that you can give, right? I wanted to expand our minds and how we can give to others. Yes, you can give clothing. Yes, you can give money. But sometimes giving your time, right? I do therapy. So what I do now is I go away from myself and get a word from God, whatever he wants. You know, I try to be in nature and just get a word from God and be by myself. And I open up time slots to have time with other people who may just need to vent, who may just need just need to be heard. And this is for anybody, not just friends, but any, you know, I just kind of let it out like that. And yeah, that's what I've been doing lately. If I don't give like clothing and stuff away, or, you know, do things like that, but I participate in it. The block party would come back. I just don't know when yet. I'm just kind of waiting, and God will give me the guidance. And if you guys want to work with me, cause I'm a one woman show. Like, it's hard out here. So if you see this and you're like, yo, I like what you're doing and your intentions are pure, like, hit me up. I want to collaborate. I want to work, you know, so for sure.
For sure. I think, you know, you'll be getting a call soon.
Yeah, I need help.
Definitely. From my partners.
Yeah, I'm excited.
See what we can draw up on the board.
Yeah.
Definitely would love to. I think, you know, as someone who throws events and, you know, for the listeners, what does it take? You know, I want people to walk away with the idea of, like, you know, because we want to inspire and we want to give people the tools and the knowledge to, you know, walk out of here and say, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be an event organizer. I want to throw a block party. What does it take?
Yeah, because they don't know the behind the scenes of how much work, the permits, like.
Yeah. it takes a lot, right? You do have to get your permits. You do have to build relationships, right? I had to build relationships with the police officers out there. And I think it was like the 2-5 precinct. For where I was doing the block party in Harlem, which is on like 110th Street between like 2nd and 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. And I had to get connected with the fire department. And you're going to get a lot of no's. You're going to get a lot of people slamming, because I had to get signatures, right? In order to have my block party in the space, I had to get signatures from the surrounding areas, as well as the people who lived in a block. And people were telling me, like, why can't you just scan the same things? I'm not a dishonest person. Like, before I started, like, truly walking, like, I just can't. Like, it just don't feel right. So you got to be a personable person. I was knocking on people's doors, like, really. Knocking on people's doors, willing to have conversations to let them know what I'm doing, trying to build. So everything for the block party is free. And I would get from the community to donate. So I would have to go in there, you know, write up letters and ask people, can you donate something, you know, restaurants, PD Steakhouse or Ricardo's? Can y'all donate some of the food, or can you give me a certificate that I can raffle off, you know, for the raffle for the kids and the families of the community? So it was a constant, a lot of that. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of those times that footwork was just me. I would beg my sister, like, please, she was like, you know, I'm not good at stuff like that. Other people were busy and I had to do it in Harlem. So a lot of times it was just me. So there are going to be times where you may feel overwhelmed, but somebody said this recently, like, overwhelmed is really just, it's because you don't have it in order, right? You got to build out kind of like a schedule. And sometimes schedules can feel like a lot, but you got to put the foot to the pavement and you just got to trust. You have the skills. Like, if you had the dream lay on your heart, you have to trust that you have the skills within you to do it. We have everything that we need. If God is giving you something, he's not unfair. He's giving you everything that you need in that moment to start. And then others will come, things will, you know what I mean, to execute it. But everything that you need, you have. Sometimes we think so grand, like, you know what I mean? Like, I could have stopped myself because the vision that I had was not the first block party. I wanted the big stage. I wanted the Third Avenue block to be, you know, locked up, right? Not the app. So I could have stopped, but it felt bigger than me. And then the year after that, I started to get help. I had councilwoman who would come to the facility, and she donated. They paid for a lot of the stuff that second time around. So that was a blessing. And you got to keep those connections and and go and keep going with it, for sure. So it's going to take a lot of hard work. It may fall all on you, but that's okay. That's okay because you have everything in you. I'm a personable person, so I knew I could knock on doors. Like, that's nothing for me. I can upsell anything. You know what I mean? And it wasn't nothing to upsell. It was a good cause. So, yeah, it's hard work. It really is. It's a lot of no's. It's a few yeses with the right yeses. And when you're doing it with intention, everything aligns itself. And a lot of faith. A lot of faith, for sure.
Yeah, because it ain't easy.
It's really not. Like, shout out to all the people who are curating events. Like, I know you guys have an event coming up soon. And so many more events that you guys do. And it's shout out to you, because it's not easy at all. It's a lot of behind the scenes work, people canceling payments, drop, like, it's a bunch of stuff, and you gotta figure it out and keep pushing.
Yeah, you gotta have faith.
Gotta have faith
and intention.
And intention, yeah. When that intention is there, when you know what you want to do, faith will kind of guide you. It's like your wing that's, you know, help you soar, for sure.
Yeah, and you do it in your hood too, like. Talk about that.
I love,
like,
Harlem.
Yeah, talk about Harlem, man. Like,
I mean, they don't really know me out there because I just, I used to keep my head down, but it's something about when you just grow up in a space and you just, like, you love where you come from. I think it's a natural thing. Like, all throughout my life, a lot of things I thought about doing, right, whether it's like buying up the projects or doing this, like, all these things I thought about doing, I always thought about coming back and doing it in Harlem first, in the east side of Harlem, which is Spanish Harlem, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really just knowing where you... And I think it's a comfortability. You know where you came from. You know where it's at. You feel like you can maneuver it and help out. You know which ways you feel like things need help because of that's your terrain, you know? So, I love Harlem. I mean, you could say it's just a couple of blocks, whatever y'all want to say, but Harlem
it's definitely more than a couple of blocks.
But I love Harlem. I love the history of it. I love the people that's out there. I mean, you know, we've always had this low key, like, Spanish Harlem against the West Side. The West Side don't think that Spanish Harlem is really Harlem and da 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 da. But listen, I'm Harlem, baby. I don't care what you say. Well, they. So You can accept me or not, I'm still going to rep it. You're right?
Are you an official Bronx and Knight? Is that what they call it?
Yeah. I've had three apartments out here in the Bronx.
That's what I'm saying. You've been here. And you've been in like every section. Like, you really lived in the Bronx. Section of the Bronx. How long you been living
I moved out of my parents' house when I was like, 23 or so?
Yeah.
And my first apartment was over there by Bronx Park East.
Yeah, so you got a decade plus.
Right under two, yeah. And then I moved to Brooklyn. I've lived in every borough except for Staten Island. You feel me? Like, every borough except for Staten Island. And so then I moved to Brooklyn for a little while. Yeah, then I moved to Queens, then Brooklyn. Then I came back. My first apartment by myself, no roommates, was in the Bronx over there in Grand Concourse. Hella loud. Too much going on, honestly. But, they celebrate everything. I don't care what it is. Like, yo, the sky is blue. Turn up. Let's get the hookah. Let's get, it was just so much. But they look out for you. I ain't gonna hold you. So, the area was loud, but it did feel like a community. I ain't even gonna hold you. So and then I moved over towards Eastchester, close to Mount Vernon area. I like the Bronx. I really do. When I was growing up, I ain't like the Bronx because they give you that narrative.
Yeah, we get that.
What you mean?
We talked about that in the first episode.
Get that narrative that
the misconceptions of the Bronx.
First of all, the apartments are bigger. You get way more space. And I love the people that I've met out here. Like, when I think about the different functions and the people that hustle and support each other, it's like no other. Like, I guarantee you the three of us will at least know a few of the same people who have been out here grinding, whether it's in music, whether it's in a creative space of producing or anything. I'm pretty sure there's a thread.
Nah, for sure.
Support each other.
That's something that we speak about, and we say people in the Bronx, it's so underfunded, it's so, it's just not there compared to other boroughs and neighborhoods, that you kind of are forced to move with a significant purpose, even if it's negative or positive. We said, you good, Ma?
Sorry, I was trying to hold this coffee.
Like the third cup of wine.
I know. If they watch and they're like, what's wrong with her? Because I'm convulsing.
It's like, we cut it out. We cut it out.
I was trying to hold it down, but I had to get it out.
Let's restart. So you kind of have to move with purpose. And, whether it be negative or positive, we said, it could be from the Cardi B's to the A Boogies, to the borough presidents, to people that, end up going to Harvard and become lawyers, things like that. There's a lot of that in the Bronx. It's because you're forced to move with purpose. It's kind of like, it's either you are moving with that drug dealer mentality and are coming from the gutter, or you're moving with that scholar mentality and trying to build your way up. It's just that hustle mode, because we don't get a lot of opportunity here in the BX.
100% I agree. Everybody that I have met out here has a different hustle that I've ever seen. And it's always with repping so hard for their people, for sure. So yeah. I love it. I respect it, for sure.
What would you say is the...
Excuse me?
What would you say is the difference between Harlem and the Bronx?
The difference...
Want some water? Put that wine down a little bit.
Yeah, might have to sit that cup down for a little while.
I'm getting warm. And I'm getting a cough attack. The difference between Harlem and the Bronx, I would have to say it's the hustle. Not all people from Harlem are coming at me, but when I think of Harlem, sometimes I think about the flashiness.
The swag. I ain't gonna lie. The swag.
I think about the swag.
I ain't gonna lie. Y'all got it with the swag.
The smoothness of it all. And it's not to say that people don't, get in a bag and stay in a bag, right? But I think that utilizing, having the bare minimum sometimes out here, and I don't want to ish on the Bronx, because there's some beautiful gems out here too. Like, you, there's so much beauty. First of all, Bronx is like the biggest borough, if I'm not mistaken, and it has so much like life to it of where you're like where you can go and discover, whether it's the parks and different things.
I think
like
it has
that.
The most greenery too, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the one.
And I don't know if it's the biggest, but I know it does have a lot of greenery. And I love that whatever that they're given out here, they make the best of it and they turn it into something, I feel like, just magnificent. Mm-hmm. So there's a different type of hustle out here, I feel like, in the Bronx. I feel like that's the different type of energy I get in regards to, like, working with people, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you stand out. Official Bronx tonight.
I mean, I respect it. Every time somebody asks me, I'd be like, I'm from Harlem, but I reside in the Bronx.
Living the X.
And I respect the X, for sure.
100%.
So I kind of want to, you know, dive into your brand a little bit more. You know, we've kind of touched on the subject of your podcast here and there, and you know, we've kind of understand that, you know, you've been doing it for years, but then there was a phase of rebranding and fitting that in with your newfound purpose, of course. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of want to touch on that subject a little bit, because I feel like, you know, we haven't really dived into it. So you have a podcast. Key Essentials.
Yes, the Key Essentials to a Kingdom Life. Mm. It was originally called the K Heartfelt Experience. My name was K Heartfelt. It was given to me. And
that's your full, that's like your government name.
No, my government. Oh, okay. See, my government name is actually Keonda Hester. Keonda Hester. But K Heartfelt, I was like, so
I
funny.
I thought, sorry.
No, it's so funny when I think about it. I went to a studio, right, to like lay down some tracks, right? Mm. And Cass, well, I remember it was a Cass.
Stop name. It.
Yeah. And
you
his
performing?
I don't think I did a good job though, but the producer was, I think his name is something Dot. People know him, but he was out there in Castle Hill. So I went out there to lay down some tracks. And I remember, you know, I think big lows all the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yo, I can't have Kitty Hello Kiki as my Instagram name. Like, I need something different if I'm going to be out here. You feel me? So like, I need a new name. And a friend of mine, a guy I was dating actually at the time, was like, K Heartfelt. I feel like, you know, because of your heart, like, this is a perfect name for you. And I ran with that and I branded everything. Like, I became that. So the first podcast was the K Heartfelt Experience. It was like obvious because that was my name. And even the National Good Deeds Day was K Heartfelt Presents, you know, National Good Deeds Day. As time went on, I used to feel like the K Heartfelt name just didn't fit anymore. Like, when I thought about, like, how I wanted the brand to look or what that was, it was, like, trying to fit the edge of a puzzle in the middle of, you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't work. And I was like, what is this? And as I started purging from my past, that relationship was, like, a doozy in my life. I remember feeling like, dang, I don't feel like I'm supposed to walk into my purpose, this newfound chapter of my life, with this name.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm supposed to like carry it on, but I don't know. It just was like, but damn, I already have everything K Heartfelt. Like, how do I just stop that? And I remember God gave me the Key Essentials, and I was like, ah, I think somebody else made it. Was something, it didn't come out the way I wanted it to. So I was like, I don't know. And then it came back again, the Key Essentials to a Kingdom Life. And I was like, who the heck am I to tell people what some essentials are to a kingdom life? I feel like that was just too big, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know about that. And I had to sit with that, pray on it. And I was like, yeah, I think it's time to rebrand. And again, I was worried about what other people would think. Like, I started this way, and how do I change it all? But I did. I obeyed, and I kind of just, excuse me, rebranded everything, and I'm so excited. And man, excuse me,
you're good.
And the Key Essentials to a Kingdom Life is essentially, again, the podcast really highlights people's experiences. My goal is for that we share our experiences and we're transparent about them so that other people don't feel alone and they can heal, they can grow, and they can learn, and more than anything, grow closer to Christ. Because even if you're not a believer and you come on the show, I'm a believer. I stay true to who I am. So I can always pull, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can pull a scripture, I can pull a story from the Bible, or I can pull and see something from my lens with God. So, and I pull the key essentials to whatever we've learned, do a journal entry on my website about it so people have more context. And so I believe that we're all walking this life. And a lot of it mirrors the Bible more than we think. And I think it's important that we come together and we share these experiences so that we can grow, like literally just learn from each other, heal, because we need to heal and grow. And I think more than anything, like I said, grow closer to Christ. I may be the closest thing somebody has ever come to in regards to a Bible. You may be that for somebody else, and you may be that for somebody else when we're our authentic selves.
Yeah.
And
Chosen Brown one.
Yeah. And I think it's important to highlight that. And the brand in itself is gonna, venture out to so many different things. You know, I will be launching a journal business under the Key Essentials. So it's like you go to thekeyessentials.com and you'll have some information on there about National Good Deeds. They are always, I always say live, learn, love, and lift each other up. So you have components where you can learn. You have components where we give back to the community. You have components where we uplift our community, because I always do business of the week. I shout out businesses as much as I can. And the ways that you can grow, I'm going to have the journal business. I think journaling is so important. For me, it's the way I pray. I believe that we may have a lot of stuff going on in our minds, and sometimes just getting it down in a journal is so helpful to help clear it and organize what we got going on. But for me, journaling, so I'm going to be having prompted journals come out soon. I already have one that's on Amazon, but I don't like the way Amazon has the binding, because I'm a journal snob, so I'm working to get things better and for everyone. And I'm just taking my time and doing it because, again, I'm a one-woman show. So if you know somebody to know somebody, send them my way so we can know each other.
PSA.
And I'm going to be doing a lot more stuff with the Sabbath, getting people to understand what the Sabbath is. As you notice, I cover my head when I pray. So there's reason for that. 1 Corinthians 11, so you can always go to my website. We'll dive more into it. But yeah, so I feel like this is a ministry. The Key Essentials is a ministry for me.
Just to continue giving you your flowers, I love the significance of giving out journals and having people practice writing in the journals. As someone who meditates, I practice a lot of mindfulness meditation. And with that, there comes a lot of mantras. There comes the practice of writing in a journal. And I think, no matter what it is, right? No matter the religion that you preach and practice, you need to have that sort of mindfulness within yourself.
Yeah.
And just the fact that you're out here just giving journals, people can write in a journal and not even think of the fact that they're being mindful of the things that are going on in their life. They're being mindful of the things that are surrounding them, within them. And, again, just to continue giving your followers, you're giving people that ability to practice mindfulness. I think that's very important in life to just have that train of thought of writing in a journal, whatever it is, maybe, it could be save money, it could be practice giving love or practice self-love, and you're just writing that down. As you write that down, it's the physical action now connecting to the mental thought.
For sure. And I it's something I do with my clients all the time, right? So it comes from that social work part of me, that therapy part. I tell everyone, even the boy who just miss, I'm not even trying to write, no, let's just
cool
see.
For the shit, mom. What are you talking about, son?
And then they do it and they're like, nah, it did help. Because there's certain things that you can't articulate. Again, it's so jumbled in your mind that by the time you finally just get a prompted kind of question and write it down, or just write, you're like, whoa. And then you get to track it, you get to see where you were. And this is how that healing kind of comes about, because you get to see you know, I always bring stuff back to the Bible. The Bible tells you to remember a lot. It tells you to remember because he knew that we would forget. And sometimes we forget where we came from and what we went, like how we got through. And that when we get to another situation, we're like, oh my gosh, I can't, like, what am I going to do? You got to, you're here right now. You got here because you got through something else just the other day. So sometimes in that journal, you've written something down and you're like, whoa, I can't believe this is where I was at. And this is what I went through. And I'm sitting here complaining about this. Oh, I know I can get through again. Let me use these tools that I've written down, or let me just reflect, right, on what I was going through before. And that kind of builds you up. It helps you with scheduling, like all types of stuff. I just love journals. Like, I love journals. So you guys will get journals from my heart. I'm also going to do like stationery stuff because I write a lot, like really nice things to my friends and family. They always tell me, you should do cards and stuff like that. So I'm going to try everything. Why the freak not? And there's going to be so many more things coming out. God has always put a lot of things in my heart. Not everything that I'm going to try to do, some things I may give and help other people, but there's a lot of things that I know he's called me to do. And you guys are going to see a lot from me. So for sure. Under Key Essentials. So I'm excited.
Key Essentials to the kingdom of.
Key Essentials to a kingdom life. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, you know, this episode's going to stand out above the rest. Because, you know, we really got, you know, spiritual and we're all about, you know, being you and yourself. And I think you're a special individual. I just want to continue giving your flowers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you're an example that, you know, I feel like people like myself and thousands of others who are, you know, close to their religion, but don't really hold one thing or another. Too close, but just understand that they're on their righteous path. I think you set with just this one episode a lot of examples that we can follow and, you know, try to be something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. And you do it in a method where it's digestible and comfortable and vulnerable. Like, if you listen to Key Essentials, she's going to be very transparent, very vulnerable, and there's a brave space, like you always say. So doing it in that method is also very important. And
Thank you so much. Y'all don't even know how much you guys are filling me up because, you know, we have moments where we're like, how do I walk like this? Or how do I do this? And then you just throw it up and say, I'm going to trust it. But sometimes it comes back down and you're like, still, how do I do this? How do I figure it out? But I'm thanking y'all because, you know, when I looked up on everything, because I promoted you guys recently, and I was so excited because I was so excited for you guys to come out on the syndicated, amazing, big time, big tune, you know,
big show upon your head top.
Platform.
Wow, wow.
All right. So this is a big platform, and it's an honor for me to be here. But I really, really love that no matter who comes through, you allow them to be themselves. And because I stand by that too, like, I don't care the color, the creed, the religion. I believe that we should be able to have a conversation and learn and grow from each other regardless. You know what I mean? So whatever walk of life, I can't force you to do anything. Like, I'm not ever trying to. I just can be who I am, and that either inspires you or we just had a good time. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Exciting. Yeah, thank you again. Truly appreciate you coming by. You really like the older sister I always wanted, and I was excited to have you on this episode. And thank you again. I appreciate you. We've been friends a decade plus now, and you're very intricate in my life.
I love you so much. I love you too.
Yes.
Like, OD.
that's big sis.
OD, like, I will, like, come for somebody.
No.
Like, I'm looking.
Yeah.
Like, I will come for somebody. For this one over
gotta
here.
Go through the big dog.
So, long as y'all know.
Right? So, we end, we end every episode with a question, just like, you know, who's someone that you would love to see on this podcast? And hopefully you can help us get them on.
First of all, that's hella innovative. I love that you guys do that. That's smart. Ooh, I love that. I love collaboration. I love how we do that. Let me think, because I've shouted out so many people on Business of the Week. So, man, you know who? I did a show with her, and it's going to come out soon, but I think Danielle would be really good. Mm-hmm. Danielle Flowers.
Yeah.
She has a beautiful platform, Dex and Denim, which is my two godsons. And I think that her input, her insight was just, it's a beautiful, it's beautiful, it's dynamic, it's raw, and she gonna give it to y'all real. And I think that she's someone who's always been her true, authentic self. And I think she would be great for the show, for sure. Okay. I would love to see her.
Yeah, that'll be dope.
Talk to y'all.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen Danielle, too.
I mean, I can, who else?
I mean, the other question is,
yeah, I can think of more, but
you could, hey, throw them all our way, baby. You know, more content, the better. I guess, you know, and to end it off, you know, really quick in like a couple sentences, mm-hmm. you know, we are Be Real, mm-hmm. and we want to know. I mean, I feel like you got a quick answer to this. What inspires you to just be yourself and be real?
Listen, keeping God first, right? Mm. The more that I walk with Him, I have no other choice but to be myself. You can't be fake with God. You know what I mean? You can try, but you won't get your blessings if you're trying to fake it with Him, right? He wants the real you. So in order for me, I have to be me, because He's pruning me constantly to be my true self. So constantly walking with Him, reading His word, that allows me to constantly be me, because I can shut out all the noise, you know, from everybody else. I won't fall into comparison. It's not to say you don't creep up, but I remember His word and I'm like, oh, you wildin', you know. So yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes. And you do it unapologetically too. That's what I love
Thank
about
you.
It.
Thank you.
You really are, and you inspire others too to be themselves. Like you used
I hope
to, so. Used to try to get me to kind of come out my shell and do all these, and then. Yeah, so I can attest to that.
We got
to
get you some BYBR gear.
Please do.
We got to get you some.
I looked online. Let me tell y'all something. I don't know if they want to sponsor me or something, but they gear, y'all gear is popping. Who does the designing?
Thank you. It's between me. It's a collaborative effort between me, my cousin Eddie, and some like other artists.
Yeah, y'all got some dope gear. I like this. It's like a... Like a light cargo type, like a jacket type thing.
Oh, yes.
I like that. I like the pants. Y'all can do a Letterman too. I think that a Letterman, would be tough.
Letterman is coming. It's a lot in the works right now.
I'm excited. Yo. I actually really like it. I like the setup. Y'all should really go through the website. Go to the website right now and really check it out. Go through it. Read it. See their intention. Because I was definitely inspired and honored to come on the show based off, like, just really looking at it. Besides, like, him being my brother for real. I was.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, it's been real. It's been one for the books. And for those listening, I'm pretty sure y'all going to walk away with a ton of knowledge, a ton of wisdom, mm-hmm. and a newfound inspiration for how you're going to seek God and things of that sort. So you already know what it is, the Be Real Podcast. I'm Joey B.
I'm Los.
I'm Key.
So we see y'all next time.
We out. Yes. Guess you're just one of my vices. I think that my only advice is take it easy when you come true. Still I put it upon you, my baby, I feel come too. Know it's better when feelings involved, but after your bust, I'm up and run too. Try to tell you how to keep me. Don't get attached, cause Mr. Why you believe me, boy. No one feel be deceiving things. So you know all the things that from evening, boy. Don't get to know your feelings just cause you're like